Marukas Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
9 minutes after 9 Central African time, you are tuning in listening to the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhullah. To all the listeners who have just tuned in now, 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number to the international overseas countries, +27 874 786 3132. Let's welcome Radio Al Ansar listeners. Let's welcome Sirius FM listeners, and of course, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ustad, somebody wants to know, for men's ihram sandals, Ustad, what type of sandals can be used, Ustad?
Remember, the Hanafi scholars say for the men, the sandals they should wear, or even shoes they can wear, but remember the ankles, both sides must be exposed, and the metatarsal. Metatarsal means that on top you will find there is a bone there. So if you press your finger there, you will find a bone. So that metatarsal and the ankles must be exposed. So whether it's a shoe or whether it's a sandal, no problem with that. However, majority scholars, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, they say the shoe sandal you wear, just the ankles must be exposed, and that is sufficient. They don't work with the metatarsal, and only the Hanafis say that. And inshallah, this week, Saturday, come there to Masjid al-Furqan, and that is in Houghton between 2 to 4. So we will show you the type of sandals or shoe, inshallah, and we will show you how to fasten the ihram and the towels and all that, inshallah, with the help and mercy of Allah.
Ustad, last year, 1439, my daughter got divorced during Hajj with her husband. And of course, they reconciled there in Hajj, Ustad. Is the Hajj accepted, Ustad? A talaq al-raj' was given, Ustad.
Yes, the Hajj is accepted, inshallah. And it's surprising that people lose their temper and they have so many problems right there. It looks like that the jamarats, the three shaitans, symbolic shaitans are there, and they're already troubling there. So yes, the Hajj is valid, and the rujoo, the husband took his wife back after giving one talaq. So now he has two talaqs left if he hasn't given any other talaq. So tell them to read Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Allah, grant us our spouses and children the coolness of the eyes, and read Ya Wadudu abundantly.
Somebody is saying, my husband gave one talaq over a year ago, Ustad. Since then, we haven't stayed together or been intimate. Half family says we are still married, other half says, because we didn't try to make amends within 3 months, we are divorced. Ustad, please advise.
If he gave you talaq last year, and obviously now your 3 menses, everything is finished, so you're out of the nikah of that person. If that was the first talaq he gave you, it is your prerogative now. You are no more married to him. Your divorce is valid. So if you want to go back to him, then you must perform a new nikah. And a new nikah will be done, and thereafter he, your ex-husband, will become your husband, and he will only possess 2 talaqs for the future. But if you want to marry somebody else, remember that also is permissible. So the choice is yours. Whatever you want to do, consult your family and take permission from your father.
Ustad, some people are saying that you should boycott for Umrah and Hajj, Ustad.
We reject that totally. All these people, some ulama, some organizations, remember, people got a political agenda and some other agendas. So we reject that totally. Remember, Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, Masjidul Aqsa are our holy places. So remember, for people to say that they must boycott it, all that, we totally against that and refute that and reject it. We will encourage millions and thousands of people to go for Umrah, to go for Hajj, to go for, remember, Masjid al-Aqsa. So all these type of things here, we should not be confusing issues.
Ustad, we go to Muallima, the sisters in Australia, in Sydney. Mufti Saab, when should circumcision be done after the baby is born? When should the hair be shaved? And is it necessary to shave the head, or can a small piece of hair be cut, Ustad?
No, the entire head must be shaved, male and female, boy and girl. So that is the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teaching. Second one is, when should the circumcision be done? When should be the, you know, ears be pierced of all that of the girl? So the ulama have written yawm as-sabi' on the seventh day. But any other time you do it whilst the baby is still small, so it is permissible. But you do it on the seventh day, very, very good. So everything gets done one shot then. So remember the piercing of the girl's ears, the circumcision of the boy. So all that, the sooner you do it, the better. And on the seventh day is the best.
The sister, they want to know, who studying in Australia, what is the significance of shaving the head?
You must remember that when the baby was born, so then there was some napaki, all that touch. So obviously some ghusl took place and all that, so he got pak. But now you want in the dunya that now his hair must start growing, all these type of things. So amitu anhul adha. So we have aqiqah, we have shaving of the hair, we replace it with zafran and all this type of thing, mix it. So it is to show you that now we are thanking Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for all His bounties and favors. So that is the main reason to imitate and to the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the logical reasons we give you.
Ustad, if someone is calling himself a Hafiz of the Quran, is it permissible to prove him, Ustad?
So you must remember that if he says, I'm a Hafiz of Quran, mashallah, if he's in an interview or something, so there's no problem with that. But if he's saying, I'm a Hafiz of Quran, out of pride and arrogance and so forth, so that is wrong. And you see so many Hafiz today, they call themselves Hafiz, but they can't read even one Jews or two Jews or five Jews, five paras properly, because they have forgotten so many parts of the noble Quran. So remember, when we show off like this, then all Almighty Allah snatches that bounty away. So therefore, read the Quran Sharif daily.
Ustad, Mozambique says, is going out in Jamaat allowed, encouraged? Anonymous sister, Ustad.
Not only encourage, highly encourage. Remember that. So for the men, they must go. And if you women are going, then you go with your husband, you go with your mahram, your father, your brother. So remember, in this day and this age, subhanallah, in the past 100 years or so, so Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, who started this work there in India, Mewat and all that, 1925-1926. So see now, we are almost in 2020. So Islam, we're very near to 100 years. So it shows that how, you know, I travel South America, many parts of the world, and you see the transformation that the work of Dawat Tabligh has done. Subhanallah, very, very great it is.
Ustad, somebody is asking here, this is from UK. Can one take life insurance, Ustad?
Life insurance is totally haram according to all the scholars. You pay 50,000, 100,000, 1 million, and you die, and now the payout will be 1 million, 5 million, 10 million. So only the premiums you paid, that amount will go into the estate, and the excess and the remainder, that must be given to the poor, Muslim or non-Muslim. It's haram for the heirs to use it.
Somebody is saying, Mufti Saab, that I have a daughter who is 22 years old, and she has received a marriage proposal from a 31-year-old gentleman. This man was married for 4 months previously, and he states that he has given the talaq, Ustad. Seems to be a well-respected person and reads Salah regularly. What is the relevant information that is required in terms of an Islamic perspective before we make any decision to accept, respected Ustad?
My advice to you, I don't know you, I don't know him, but I'll give you one standard answer and guidelines. You need to do your homework properly. Second one, you need to find out why he divorced his previous wife. Third one is this, people today, they always, when they come for proposal, all that, they will read Salah, they will do this. Ask the ulama in his town, does this person really read Salah? Is he meticulous, particular? And then fourth one, remember the age also is there. So your daughter is 21 or 22 and he's 31. So not that there's a problem with that, but you must to think about it. And remember, make istikhara as well. So that is our advice on these issues. Personally, if it is my daughter, I would not give until I know that why he divorced his previous wife. So when these people start divorcing and all that, then they make life very easy. So you must remember. So don't just fall for the stories they give you. People are master liars nowadays. Yeah. So you need to also know that what, why did he give divorce and so forth.
Ustad, I have been accepted for Hajj this year, 1440. If I do take the Azizia package, we are required to share with others or take an optional couple room at an additional cost. Is it better to take the couple room, Ustad, or not?
You must remember, if you got the money, then you take the couple room, meaning that you and your wife will have that room and all the facilities will be for you only, the bathroom, toilet, nobody else will use it. And if you don't have the means, then you will use the communal bathroom, meaning that other couples will also be using that bathroom, toilet and so forth. So if you have the means, take it, because you'll be staying there for 1 week before Hajj, from the 1st of Zilhijjah right till the 8th, so 7 days. 7 nights you will spend there, or 8 nights, and thereafter you must remember, when you go to Mina, you will come back and so forth. So if you can afford it, then rather take that separate room, and that will be much more convenient for you.
Ustad, we go to Zambia. This is Brother Dawudu. He says, I like your program, Mufti Sab. Is it permissible for the husband to kiss his dead wife on the forehead? Dawudu, Ustad.
Dawudu, your wife is alive, but you want to know when she passed away and you want to kiss her? Yes, it's permissible for the Shafi'is, Malikis, Ambalis, that they touch their wife, kiss her on the forehead after she passed away. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he gave ghusl to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So therefore, they say that you can touch the wife after she has passed away. That is majority scholars. Hanafis say, once death occurs, the wife passes away, then you, the husband, you cannot touch her. You can look at her, you can go in the grave and bury her, you can carry the janaza, all that you can do, but you can't touch her skin to skin. So when we ask the Hanafi jurors why, they say because you can marry the sister. So it shows that the nikana is broken, therefore you can marry the sister. So therefore you can't touch her as well. So that is the verdict of the Hanafis.
So if a person has difficulty fasting, is it permissible to pay compensation instead? Ustad, this is from Rustenburg.
No, not permissible, because difficulty you have in many things. People have difficulty waking up Fajr time. So what you going to say? You just pay money? So no, the hours are long sometimes. We were in UK and all that. We used to keep 20 hours fast. This Ramadan, when I traveled to Brazil, just 21 hour fast. So remember that in that way there, that you find difficulty. So that type of difficulty doesn't mean that we just say it's too difficult, so I'll just buy it off, you know, and pay money. No, it's haram to do that. You must fast. It's compulsory.
Ustad, we go to the United States of America. It says here, this is from New York. Mufti Sab, a friend has lost a gold chain while using it. Is there a possibility of finding it? If yes, what do I need to do, Ustad? Jazakallah, New York.
For men to wear gold chain, first of all, is haram. So say alhamdulillah, it went away, because it's haram for men to wear gold chain and all these type of things. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching you a lesson that when you wear haram, then it will get lost. There's no barakat in it. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَىٰ دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. When we get involved in vices, so Allah Ta'ala punishes us. But the punishment is a smaller punishment, not a big punishment where death comes, so that we start reflecting and come back to the right path. So go and read 2 rakat salat shukr. Ya Allah, you took away my gold chain, you didn't take away my life, and so forth. I still got Iman and Islam. So don't get involved in haram things, and then Allah Ta'ala's help will come.
Ustad, we go to Dubai. It says, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, please advise if I resign from a company and receive a lump sum from a provident fund, which I contributed a certain percent, and my employee contributed a certain percent monthly. May I use this towards my Hajj savings, Ustad?
Yes, totally permissible. Remember, it is part of your wages. The only thing you need to be careful about, wherever you are and anywhere in the world, they try and get the breakdown from your ex and previous employer or the broker or whoever they use. Where were they investing this money? So they gave you 100,000, 50,000 lump sum. So now you must just see the percentage they use that was not halal. So let's say 10%, 20% was not halal, so that you keep one side, you can pay your taxes and all that for that. And the remainder, 80, 90%, you use it for Hajj or anything else, totally permissible, no problem.
Ustad, when someone dies and they suffered a lot of pain before they died, that is cancer, do they or can they achieve the status of martyrdom, Ustad?
Yes, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a person used to cry and beg Almighty Allah for martyrdom, then Almighty Allah will resurrect them with the martyrs who are in mata ala firashihi. Even though he passed away on his bed, open the Riyadu Salihin, Mishkat Sharif, all that, you will find the hadith there. So it shows, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is a perfect example. One of the greatest personalities as far as warfare goes, Saifullah, the sword of Allah, but he passed away in Hims there in Syria and is buried there. So on his bed, so he passed away. So it shows he will be resurrected with the martyrs, because that was his whole desire, and that is what Almighty Allah will do with him, inshallah.
Ustad, we go to overseas. This is all the way from Canada, from Vancouver. Ustad, I just listened to the question. It says here, my grandfather died some years ago, leaving behind his wife, 3 sons and 4 daughters. Since then, 1 son and 2 daughters have passed away. The son who passed away left behind a wife, 2 sons and a daughter. One of the daughters that passed away leaves behind no children, no husband, Ustad.
Remember, in a case like that, why are you all delaying winding up the estate? Already some heirs have passed away. So when your grandfather passed away, he left a wife, so she will inherit 12.5%. Thereafter, there are 3 sons and 4 daughters, so of the remainder, 87.5%, you make 10 shares. So in that 10 shares, 6 shares will go to the 3 sons, and 4 shares will go to the 4 daughters, 1 share each. But before they could receive their share, so 1 son, 1 daughter passed away, so expedite the winding up of the heirs, and that share that's supposed to go to the son or the wife, but they passed away, so you give it to them in the sense that you give it to their heirs, and then the heirs will inherit it proportionately. So first the wife, 12.5%, then the 3 sons and the 4 daughters, 10 shares. From the 10, 6 shares will go to the 3 sons, 2 each, and 1 each for the 4 daughters. Those who passed away, so their share will now go to their daughter, their heirs, and proportionately.
Ustad, Van der Bale Park asking that, I own a t-shirt printing business, Ustad. At times a client wants to have an image of themselves printed, or an it says inanimate image object. Should I comply, Ustad?
It's absolutely haram. That animate objects are haram. So if you got a t-shirt factory or a manufacturing fair, whatever it is, and now people want to put some soccer player, cricket player, some shaitan they want to put, so, or himself or herself, so for you to print that and sell that, all haram it will be. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in sin and transgression. Surah 5 verse 2. If it is inanimate objects, it is water, a lake or a mountain or trees, a scenery, so that would be permissible and acceptable.
084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number. Mufti Saab, I was having an affair with a married man. Now we're getting married. Now the problem is, Ustad, my parents have disowned me because of me marrying this guy. Ustad,
what you expect them to do? Both, all parties, they are involved in haram. You are in haram. What business you had to have an affair with a married person? So both of you must be punished. Remember that you must get 100 lashes, and for fornication if you were not married before, and he must get the death penalty for adultery. Now you want to get married. So you will go, it seems, according to your question, a second wife. So you're going to upset the apple cart there already. And now your parents are fed up with you. So they decided you don't want to listen. So they disowning you. That also is haram. Or if you're the first wife, because maybe that person, they had a wife and she passed, he passed away or whatever. So nevertheless, in a case like that, whatever you're doing is haram. So if you're going to get married, so you need your father and their permission. And they are not giving permission and they're telling you you can't marry this person and you were involved in a haram. So therefore, you have to sever ties with that person, make sincere tawbah and go back to your parents and make peace with them. Everything in life is replaceable. Parents are not replaceable. Yes, so you have broken the heart of your parents. And for parents to disown their children, as long as they are Muslim, is haram. You can't do that. Remember, there are severe consequences. Surah 4, verse number 14, you'll end up in Jahannam for a very, very long time. Yudkhilu naran khalidan fiha. So Almighty Allah protect us from all this type of haram.
Ustad, can a person sell something which he has bought but has not yet taken possession of, Ustad?
If you bought it, you paid for it, although it's not in your possession, but you are carrying the risk of it. So it means that if that thing gets lost or that thing gets stolen, so then it is your loss. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, "Wala tabi ma laysa indak." What you don't have in your possession, you must not sell. So one is physical possession. One is constructive possession. Constructive means you are taking the risk of that thing there. So if it gets lost or damaged, it's your loss. So if you sell it after you have paid for it, everything, so that will be permissible.
9:30, we're going to go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we get back, inshallah, from the ad break, yes, there are still many questions to be posed to our beloved Honorable Ustad. So listeners of Sirius FM, listeners of Radio Al Ansar and Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, don't go away. Stay tuned.
Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
27 minutes to 10, Ustad, the question says, my name is Muhammad. My family has a large piece of land which has a Jamaat Khana. We want to make it to an Islamic center, Ustad. Can you refer to us to an organization to fund this project? Ustad, your input.
Remember that I don't know exactly where you are. When you say you want to make it into an Islamic center normally will mean that it is not waqf. Meaning it doesn't belong to Almighty Allah, it still belongs to a family. So why should the Ummah go and give finances and it will still belong to you? So that is not something that Islam encourages. Yes, if you want to make it a masjid or you want to make it a madrasa or something that is now going to be waqf and it is belonging to Almighty Allah, and then you can become the officials, the trustees, the directors or whatever. So in that way, then if you collect, is fine. But now you become the owner and you want to put up. Is today Islam is used to make money. That you must remember that. 80%, 90% of the time, people today use Islam. And it is money-making gimmicks. So you must remember that. So if that is what you want, then it's rather you close it up and don't even think about it. But if really you want to serve the deen of Almighty Allah, and you're not going to go for enrichment and so forth, then remember, make it waqf, and then you put up a masjid, or you put up a madrasa, and so forth. And then you can contact the ulama you have confidence in, and they will guide you.
Ustad, Daddy is asking, is it wrong to go and visit the grave every day with my son? I am missing my husband, my dad, Ustad.
Remember that for you, the females, to go and visit graveyard every day or once a year is not permissible. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ahadith on this topic are many. La'anallahu zairatil qubur, la'anallahu zawaratil qubur. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on ladies who visit the graveyard, hence not permissible.
Somebody saying, "Ya Ustad, I want to know, my brother is in prison and the wife forced him for a divorce and he gave it from the prison, Ustad. Is this valid?
Yes, 100% valid, and it's the right thing to do if he is there for 5 years, 10 years. So you don't expect the wife to wait so long for him, and he committed a heinous crime, murder, rape, theft, fraud, whatever. So in that case, it's the best thing for him to release his wife. So after the iddah, then she can continue with her life. And remember that now you are in prison, so you must now reform. Allah Ta'ala make easy for you also in jail.
Someone is asking you, Ustad, I have the following question. Childbirth. Can a mother listen to the Quranic recitation of Surah Yasin while breastfeeding her baby, Ustad?
Yes, that's totally permissible, no problem. So while you are breastfeeding, you yourself can read also. So you should be reading Surah 46, verse 15, 1-5. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety in my children, my progeny. So inshallah, you are breastfeeding and then you are reading Quran, blowing on your flower, on your baby. Allah Jalla Wala will make them a beacon of light and a source of hidayat, inshallah.
Hussad, may I please have a brief history of Turkey? I would also like to know if the meat slaughtered in Turkey is halal, Ustad.
Remember, Turkey nowadays is very, very good for you to go visit, because in Istanbul, there you will find Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, who is buried. He was the first host of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you go to Urfa, so there you will find the place where they threw and cast Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam in the fire, but Almighty Allah protected him. Ya narukuni bardaw wa salaman ala Ibrahim. So the fire got finished and there was became a garden for him actually. So Allah Ta'ala protected and rescued Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. That place is Urfa. If you go to Konya, there Jalaluddin Rumi is buried there. And if you go into Istanbul, then you find the Topkapi Museum. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam Mubarak, he is there. And there are many, many other things to visit there in Topkapi. Likewise, you can go to the Blue Mosque also, the Blue Masjid, and Hagia Sophia also is there. The Bosphorus is there. So many, many places for you to visit. Regarding the meat and all that, my advice will be that rather eat vegetarian, rather eat fish and so forth, because today there is too much doubt everywhere.
Mufsa, my husband came out of rehab. We are really struggling financially and he's unemployed. Now he wants to start betting for quick money. Please advise, Ustad.
He still didn't learn his lesson. He came out from the rehab and now he doesn't have a job. Now he wants to go and gambling, betting. So all this is absolutely haram. So he came from one haram and now he wants to go to another haram. He was in the rehab because of drugs and what have you. Now he came a little bit straight. Now he wants to do betting and gambling. So tell him he has to need to straighten his life out. Read Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu. Read your 5 daily salat. Allah Jalla Wala will open the doors. You do all this betting, gambling. Allah curses on you, so then the help of Almighty Allah is removed.
Hussain, let us go to Middleburg. Mufti Sahib, from the Sharia point of view, up to what age is the father responsible for the expenses of his son? For example, his education, Ustad.
Remember, for the daughter, the father is responsible from time of birth till the time she gets married, and thereafter the husband will be responsible. For the son, he is responsible from the time he's born till the age of 15. So after that, 16, 17, 18, whatever he spends, he's just making tabarru, he's doing ihsan, a favor. So in Islam, the son must not be a liability. He needs to become an asset. So how he becomes an asset? By getting education, standing on his own feet and so forth. So if the father tells the son that now you better start working and so forth, so instead of sitting on your laurels and thinking of Hadi, so he has all the right to do so.
Ustad, some husbands compare their wives to their mothers. They even say that their wife is like their mother and even tell the children to go to mommy instead of going to your mother. This is something that is becoming common in many of our Muslim homes, Ustad. Is this permissible, Ustad?
Here there are 2-3 different issues. For example, a certain wife cooks a meal, and now you tell her that, darling, sweetheart, honey, that this food you made is just like my mother made. So that's a compliment. There's no problem in that. So second one is, he calls his wife mommy. So that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. That's not permissible also. So you call your wife honey, darling, and so forth. That's very good. But to call your wife mommy, that can lead to big problems also. But just mommy till there, we should just say not permissible. And then third one is this, that comparing his wife to mommy, mommy to wife and all that, it just depends what text, context. Sometimes it could be permissible and good, and sometimes very dangerous and not permissible.
Ustad, he says, on behalf of my friend, her husband supports her, but do not give her any money. She steals from him to buy things for the house, like bread, etc., because she cannot ask him for money. He fusses and he swears her. Ustad,
you must remember that if you are a female friend of that lady and you are helping her, so that's fine. But if you are a male and you are helping her, sooner or later one thing will lead to another and then the affair will start. So in a case like that, you need to speak to the husband and tell him, if you can't give your wife bread, milk and food and all that, for what you keeping her there and making so much zulam and oppressing her? So all that is haram. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You, the husband, you must treat your wife with love, equity and justice. Roti kapra makan. You have to give the food, you have to give the clothing, you have to give the shelter, all that, the medication, all that are the responsibilities of the husband.
Ustad, if I don't have the money to do my daughter's aqiqah at the moment, how long do I have to perform it for her, Ustad?
Remember, you have time right till she becomes baligh. So now you still have 8, 9, 10 years, depending what's her age now. Once she becomes baligha, she gets her menses, then after that, you can't make aqiqah according to Shafi'is. Hanafis, you got another 10, 20, 30 years also. So you must remember, as long as she's alive, then you can do it. So don't fuss about it now, my brother, that when you have the means, then you make the aqiqah, one goat or one sheep for your beloved daughter, and read, Ya Razzaqu, Ya Razzaqu, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu. To Allah Jalla Wala will open a lot of doors with this beautiful flower he gave you.
18 minutes to 10, you are tuning and listening to the Q&A. Ustad, I am married, but my husband is not here. He's coming from overseas. I don't know how people get his number from where. And they phone him and they tell him, I am mad. Every time I got someone, they phone them and they say, I am mad and got jadu. They are jealous of me. Anonymous, Ustad.
If you and your husband are seeing eye to eye, then what you worrying about these people here? Yeah? And if it is based on jealousy and so forth, read the Manzil daily, read the four quls, Kul Ya Al-Kafirun, and the last three surahs, read Ayat Al-Kursi, read Surah Fatiha, give out charity, and you must cement your relationship with your husband. Many a time people try to break marriages because they are jealous and envious and so forth. So you must tell your husband that this is, you want him and he wants you, so you don't worry about people.
Ustad, someone is saying that my 4-year-old daughter does ballet. My in-laws are furious about this, but she is just a child and it is harmless fun, Ustad.
It's absolutely haram. Today is harmless fun. Tomorrow she will tell you she wants to go shake her buttocks and everything in public. Then what you will do? So that is the big problem today. You must remember the parents today encourage their children. Yesterday, Q&A, we had a question that they want to make the daughter a soccer star. Mm. So she must go for trials and all that. All haram. Now your daughter is 4 years old. So now she wants to go ballet. So once you encourage her, so she will say, this is very good. So we must inculcate great qualities, not haram qualities. So it's not harmless fun. There's big harm in all that. She loses her haya, she loses her shame, she loses her modesty, shaking her buttocks and everything in front of public. And then we call it harmless fun. Surah 66, verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, parents, save yourself and your children from the fire. Children are like the sponge. Mm. What you give them, they will absorb that. You gave them vices, they will continue with those vices. And you will get all the sin. They are masoom. So the sin is on you, the parents. And it's worse when you try and justify it.
Was that somebody saying, yeah, I would like to remain anonymous. When I was a young boy, my uncle abused me sexually, Ustad. The family swept it under the carpet, especially my mother. Now I am a grown married man, and I can't cope, respected Mufti Saab.
Remember, this also happens in our society, and therefore we have this type of program. It's an open forum. You can see questions nationally, locally, internationally, and we just answer the questions as they are posed. So it's no sense pushing everything under the carpet and expecting things to happen, you know. We need to face the reality. So yes, things like this happen. You have an uncle, he has access to the house, and now he abuses the nephew, abuses the niece, and so forth. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Now these type of things, they scar the child psychologically, mentally, and he loses confidence, he loses, you know, everything almost, his self-respect. Now you, because nobody wants to believe you, now that time they didn't believe you, now after 20 years they'll say, now what's the story? So you have to do the following. My brother, when you feel down, so read Surah 54, verse 10. Surah 54, Surah Qamar, verse 10. Rabbi anni maghloobun fantasir. Ya Allah, I'm overpowered. You assist me, you defend me, Ya Allah. There's nobody for me besides you. Second one, that you must read Surah 29, verse 33. So, Rabbin Surni alal qawm al mufsideen. Ya Allah, you assist me against these mischief makers, troublemakers. They got away with impunity. They got away scot free. But you, Allah, let the justice prevail so that they also must pay for the actions and the haram they did. And then the third one, remember that when people are plotting, planning, scheming against you, then read Surah 40, verse 44. I'm handing over my matters and affairs to Allah. Allah Ta'ala is all aware of what is happening, all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. And in that way, Almighty Allah will protect you from people's evil plotting, planning, and scheming. And to remove all this worry, sorry, anxiety, read Surah 21, verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min Zalimin abundantly. Allah make easy for you.
Subhanallah. Somebody is asking, Ustad, what is the reward of keeping sheep at home and slaughtering it for Eid, Ustad?
MashaAllah, when we read the noble Quran, Quran Kareem teaches us, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never obtain true piety until and unless you spend from that which you love. So now you bought the goat, the sheep, all that 1 week, 1 month or so before the sacrifice. So I told you in South Africa, 12th of August, Monday will be Eid al-Adha, inshallah. That doesn't mean we mustn't scan the sky. We still scan the sky, remember that, for the new moon of Zulhijjah. But now let's carry on. So now you're accustomed to it. You're familiar with that goat or sheep and whatever. Now when you slaughter, so you are slaughtering something that you love. Otherwise, it's just like going through the motions. So therefore, people bring it and then they feed it and everything. So every time you fed it, you gave it something to drink and so forth. So all that are actions of reward. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. You're doing so much good for this animal, but you know in 1 week, 2 weeks time or so you will be slaughtering, sacrificing it.
So let's go to Blackburn. Let's go to Blackburn, it says, yeah, Blackburn in UK. There is an online auction which I have been viewing recently, Mufti Saab. However, in order to bid on items in this auction, you need to buy birds which is at a fixed price. Example, 20 birds cost 100 rand. Once birds are bought, you can then bid on an item at the cost of one bird, but like in every other auction, there is no guarantee that one will win the auction. Is this a form of gambling, Ustad?
Yes, 100% is haram. This type of gambling is haram. When you have an auction, so everybody can then bid. And then if somebody else bids, remember your bid falls away. You can't tell people you must make 10, 20, 30 first, and then you qualify for the next one and all that. All that is haram and not permissible.
Somebody's asking, Ustad, is medical aid halal, but insurance not? They both work on the same basis with gambling interest and uncertainty, Ustad.
You must remember there's a slight difference. If you take medical aid, so then what happens is you are paying and then you get the hospital bed, you get medication, you get injections and so forth. So you are not getting money in exchange. But you take, for example, life insurance and all that. So you gave money and now you're getting money in exchange. So that is a big difference there. So that is one. Second one, if you look at South Africa and you look at the halal, the conditions, you know the government hospitals. Just today in the news, I heard something. A lady went somewhere and she gave birth outside the hospital or by the door of the hospital. So you must remember, so all this, we know what a mess it is in. So therefore, you look at the halal. Our Honorable Ustad and Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Rizal Haqsab, I discuss all these type of issues with him. So he also is of the view and verdict that medical aid is permissible. So that is our verdict as well.
Ustad, I would like to be anonymous. I have a Maulana who claims he is a Sayyid, but he is not, Ustad, and breaking up lots of marriages. How do we handle this problem, Ustad?
If you have concrete evidence that that is what he's doing, breaking up marriages, and he claims he's Sayyid and so forth, wives he is not, so then you must expose him. So these people are shayateen. So many times we expose people like this because they are bogus, because they cause so much commotion and so forth. So once you have, not just based on your own whims and fancies, you must have concrete evidence, and then this type of shayateen definitely must be exposed.
Ustad, does ghusl become compulsory after removing bodily hair? Ustad,
when you remove your unwanted hair, that is from the armpits and your pubic hair and so forth, then ghusl is better, but not compulsory. And remember, a true Muslim will do this every week, every second week, and the maximum amount of days is 40 days, the hadith in Ibn Majah. If it goes for more than 40 days and we have not cut our hair, removed it, shaved it, then remember we are sinful, and remember the salat will be valid. But it is a big sin that we are now becoming untidy and unhygienic. So Islam is inna Allah nazifun yuhibbun nazafa. Allah Jalla wala is very, very clean, and Almighty Allah loves cleanliness. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif.
Ustad, someone is asking that I have been told by several people that I should not smoke, as it is both bad for my health and haram. I am on my road to quitting, but it seems every time I make dua for Allah to help me to stay pure, I will end up smoking that same day. This is a student from Varsity, Ustad.
Yes, remember, dua alone does not work. With dua, you have to make effort. You say, Ya Allah, give me pious wife, but you don't go and propose, you don't do anything. So the pious wife won't fall from the sky, my brother. So smoking is haram. Just this morning in the masjid, I gave the hadith. Quran Sharif teaches us Surah 17 verse 27, Innal Mubazirina Kanu Ikhwana Shayateen. People who squander their wealth, they are brothers of Shaitan. Hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La darara wa la dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself, don't cause harm to others. So when a person smokes, what benefit there is? You're just causing harm to your body, to your lungs and everything, and you're causing harm to others. People stand next to me and their mouth is stinking with that snake, with that smoke. So I feel very upset. Many people, you're causing harm to the malaika, you're desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. See how many multiple crimes there are. So you must fight and suppress your desires. Impose a fine upon yourself. Every time you take one cigarette, every time you take one smoke, so say 20 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand, in 1 week you'll be straight like a miswak, brother.
Somebody say, Anonymous, can we transfer funds from a Sharia compliant check account to a Sharia compliant investment account to start? The two we are aware of is FNB Pocket, and of course the other one is the Islamic one. There may be more. This institute says Sharia compliant. Obviously the check account has no profit sharing, but the investment account has. That's why people do this or advise all to. Ustad, your input.
Remember, there are ulama who have legalized and all these type of things. If you are really honest to yourself, ask yourself these three questions. These ulama who have legalized all this, is there not a conflict of interest? They are paid by this bank and so forth already to legalize it. So is it a conflict of interest or not? Obviously it's a conflict of interest. Till today, not one Maulvi has answered this question. So the biggest Maulanas also and Muftis, I asked them, not one of them have answered. Is there a conflict of interest or not? You are serving on that bank, on that board, and you're collecting wages, and very good wages, let me tell you that, because I got so many of them contacting me, and I tell them we're not for sale. So you must remember that, number one. Number two is this, show me which fiqh you are following. Because none of them in these deals, they follow one fiqh. They follow sometimes Shafi'i, sometimes Hanafi, sometimes Maliki. So there's talfiq. So there's not permissible that. So you take a little bit from here and make a hybrid product. Three, there's so many healers and shortcuts and loopholes used. So how is all that permissible? So therefore, we totally against this, irrespective ka'in and mankan, whoever it is, we say is not 100% Sharia compliant and not permissible.
Ustad, what does it mean if one says that they lost qadr and started drinking and doing drugs and behaving like the non-Muslims? How do we help this person without getting affected, Ustad?
Remember that when that person is sober, you need to tell him that you are using your taqdeer as an excuse for your own vices. Al-ihtijaj bil-qadr la yajuz, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's kitab. You cannot use taqdeer as an excuse. Remember, you go straight to hell. So people want to do haram. They say, yes, in my taqdeer. So you give him a smack and then tell him, yes, it was in your taqdeer that I give you a smack. Then see how upset he will be. So you must remember that people, their own weaknesses, balil insanu ala nafsihi basira, human being is such, he will give evidence against himself, he knows deep down, but outwardly, walau alqa ma'adhira, they give excuses and so forth. So it is just a feeble excuse they are using to try and legalize the vices and the haram they're indulging in.
Ustad, somebody is asking you, Honorable Ustad, people had actually taken bay'ah with the sheikh at the Alame Arwa, Ustad?
So you must remember that Alame Arwa is that place where all the ruh and so forth met. So, and that is how we meet. But when people say that our sheikh does, you must see the aqidah of your sheikh. Does it belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah or it belongs to somebody else? So many deviant groups today. Number two, is your sheikh allowing women to come to him, to meet him? They come and meet him, kiss him. So that is not the sheikh, he's a shaitan. He can have the longest turban, he can have longest beard. So you must remember that such people are big, big shayateen. And you can take my name and tell him I called him shaitan. And third one is this, that you must see, that is he only mingling with the rich people or what? So then they know they got nothing to do with Islam. They're just filling their pockets and just like these people. So you must remember, you see these Agahanis and all these people and whatever. So how that the rich people, they get captivated very easily. And you must remember these people who wear that white hat with the gold studs and all that. So they are the people that they have this type of, so, you know, they pay their peer so much, they kiss his feet and watch. So all these are money-making gimmicks, you must remember. Therefore, I told you today, Islam is used for money-making in many cases.
Ustad, final question for this evening. There was a matchmaking program in Durban where mothers, matchmakers meet, greet and eat. Only females, Ustad. No fees. They said strictly halal. Is this permissible, Ustad?
It's not halal. How can it be halal? That now, for what you want to go meet another lady and then they're going to make panchat. Panchat means that now they'll discuss this boy is very good, this girl is very bad, this one is this. So all this will be ghibat and backbiting and so forth. So how can this be halal? So people think that anyway that you just have woman meeting, men meeting or whatever, so it's halal. No. So what you're going to discuss there? So you're going to discuss ghibat there. That's the most important thing you're going to discuss. So therefore, these type of things are not permissible. You want to get married, you then send out the message to 2-3 people. Inshallah, you make dua and the word will go around. Today, mashallah, there's so many ways of getting it around. So inshallah, then you get married. What you want to have, like a big conference, all the matchmakers are coming. So it reminds me of the July handicap, you know. So one person told me the one horse won and people lost millions. So all the jockeys were coming together. You don't understand? So you must remember that. So all these are shaitaniyat. There's no place for that. Okay, 1 minute left, I think.
Ustad, there's a final question from Argentina. If Ustad would...
Ji, take it.
Ji, Ustad. It says, Mufti Saab, please explain how to discipline children. My wife refuses to hit the children, but talks to them sweetly with love when they do wrong. They do not listen, but take advantage of her. I keep telling her that kids sometimes need a hiding. Of course, not hurt them, Mufti Saab. My kids respect me and they listen to me. I enjoy time with my kids, but when I do hit them, maybe my wife also throws tantrums. Can Mufti Saab please advise? I am from Argentina, Ustad.
What you must do, brother, you are in Buenos Aires or you are there in Mar del Plata or you are there in Quilmes. These are all the places we visited. Or Iguazu, mashallah, we visited there also. So anyway, wherever you are, my brother, you must be the example for your children. You must be there that when they do wrong, then you take away their perks. No spending money, no this, no that, and so forth. And third one, you can detain them. Just detain them for 1 hour, half an hour. So all that is much more productive than hitting them. So you must remember that hitting them will just make them more stubborn and rebellious. So use alternative methods for discipline and you will see, inshallah, they will become good youngsters, inshallah.
Ustaz, that brings us to the end of the program. Inshallah, our rundown, our program to start.
Inshallah, tomorrow, Maulana Arafat will be here back on air 4 to 6. I'll join Maulana at 20 to 6, inshallah. And remember, tonight, if you don't hear any programs on Markaz Sahaba till that time, so it's beyond our control. We can't keep the generator on because of neighbors. And again, our crooks here, they stole the electricity. So there's big problems again with the electricity. So make dua, all may Allah protect us from all these jaresu, the evil neighbors across the squatters. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. We beg Almighty Allah Jalla wa la for protection. Wa ghafallahu khayrun hafidha wa warhamur rahimin.
Ustaz, jazakumullah wa khairan. Of course, we will be seeing Ustaz tomorrow morning, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We thank the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, the listeners of Sirius FM, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Up next is, our 10 o'clock news. Thereafter, the Urdu lecture. And the topic is Peace in Islam by Hazrat Mulana Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi. Damat Barakat to whom? Yes, that is up next on Markaz Sahaba after the 10 o'clock news. The Urdu lecture, Peace in Islam by Hazrat Mulana Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi. From myself, Brother Lokalu, Brother Lance, and all of the listeners out there, see you tomorrow morning with myself, my beloved Hazrat Mulana Salim Karim, and my Ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidahullah. From myself and all of you out there, Allahumma hadina wahdibina wahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.